It's a sick fucking world right now. It really amazing. Is. It's a strange goddamn world that we're living in. I don't know how to react to it sometimes anymore. I just kind of stare at it and I'm like,
this is real?
What'd you say?
Yeah, kind of like, I think of it like, all right, you know what? I'll be gone in 50 years.
Jesus.
After that.
I love you gave yourself 50. Because I'm like,
oh yeah, no, you know, actually, I mean, I've said for years that I won't make it to 50 years old.
Yeah.
Do you guys think it'd really suck to be immortal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
If I'm not a vampire?
Here's the thing. Don't take this the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. I'm with you.
This is racist.
No. Here's, have you ever worked a job where you worked 46 hours a week in a place you hate, it's physical labor, and you know that you're just wasting your life?
And I start to cry.
And I'm being honest, I'm being serious. When I quit my job to go to NYFA, and I didn't have the money to go. I took out a personal loan to go. Mm. And I wasn't going to be able to work, and I didn't have any money.
Right.
So I had to take out enough money to get me by for a year. And I did that because that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, it took a while for me to, like, say, fuck it, we're going to do this. But I did it. And, you know, I was older than all of you guys. I mean, me and Artie, I think, were the same age. Marcelo was obviously. We had a couple of people that were my age. A couple that are older. But for the majority, it was, I'm not including you in this, it was people whose mommy and daddy paid for it.
Yeah.
They would have no repercussions if it went bad. And it showed because most of them didn't do any of their work.
Mm-mm. Didn't come.
Didn't show up for like weeks at a time.
Right.
Didn't have a final movie.
I don't get that.
Because mommy and daddy paid for it. It didn't, but it, I mean, it's not
like,
out.
I don't know how to put it. It's not like regular school, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, yeah, this is something that you think you'd want to go to.
Yeah, but Kev, the thing is, like, me and you don't have that growing up like that.
I think you say loving family.
No, okay. we didn't have that growing up. We didn't have already that comfort. So going to New York and going to school for a year is fun. Mm. You know, and I don't know if you know this, but we went to school with somebody who lived poor but had tons of money. And I knew it. And a lot of other people knew it. And they thought that it was them being like an artist. I'm going to be an artist. I'm going to live poor.
Seriously.
And it's like, no, you're not. Because if you wanted to, you could go home tomorrow. Mm. You're a phone call away from being lavishly comfortable.
Right.
You have no fucking idea what it's like to be a poor or even middle class.
Right.
Which middle class right now,
there is no middle class.
There is no middle class. Right. NYFA afforded me a year of being around people who had the same interests as mine, and without trying to sound arrogant or whatever. This is the only thing I am arrogant about. I'm good at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, though. I'm only good at that stuff. I'm not good at anything else. I've tried it. I don't care.
Yep.
That's why I'm not good at it, because I don't give a fuck.
Right.
The only thing I was ever good at is that. And it was incredible. But it's buried me. And after I got out of that school and I wasn't able to get a loan for the second year because I was at the school,
right.
I couldn't find a job for about a month. I had a complete breakdown, of which I've never had in my life before or since. And it got so desperate that I swallowed my pride and I applied for unemployment, which was, I felt fucking terrible. I was like, I can't believe that this is where it's fucking come to. And then to top it off, I got approved for unemployment to the tune of $0 a week. I actually got paperwork.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Because when I had worked at the cable company the year before I went to school, I made like 40 grand. Okay. And then the next year I made zero. So I went, it was some kind of fucked up math where I made too much money and then not enough money. And it worked out that I am approved for benefits for $0.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really had my fucking, my crack. And then from that, I finally got a job at a bank, which was paying me like $11 an hour. I was barely paying my bills month to month. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do anything, you know. Following that, I got in touch with people who were working at DirecTV. And I was like, okay, you know what? I talked to the guy. He told me the salary, like, and this and that sounded, okay, good. I can do this. I did the Cablevision. I don't want to do this, but I have no fucking choice right now. I need more money. But all that was commission-based. And I was working jobs an hour away from here, which then if they canceled or there was a fucking tree in the way that I couldn't set it up, I got no money. So I worked 50 hours a week the first week I was on commission, and I made $500. So out of desperation, I had to take a job in a machine factory, which paid shitty money, but you worked 60 hours a week. So your overtime made up for it. I worked from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. for 7 months. And I never saw Melissa. I never saw anybody.
Yeah.
The days that I saw anybody, I was falling asleep. We were on vacation once. Me, Melissa, my friend Mike, and my other friend Mike. And we were sitting at lunch, and I fell asleep at the fucking table. Because I had not been up at noon. Or, you know. But we were going on vacation. Then from there, I got this other machining job. But at least, it's, you know, it's during the day, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible. So it's hard to look at things and be like, I would love for this to go on for much longer. No, I wouldn't. There was a fair amount of time when I was working at the overnight job where I was like, you know what? I'm probably better off dead. Because I don't want to do this the rest of my life. If this is going to be the rest of my life, I don't want my life.
Right.
I want to, you know, I don't know what the fuck is after this. As long as I do not believe in quote unquote God. I don't believe in, you know, what is written in the book, but I believe there's something.
Right.
And I honestly, I was like, you know what? I don't know if this is worth it. Because I was miserable. Melissa was miserable being with me, I would imagine, because I was no fun to be around.
Yeah.
So like when you say, like, oh, wouldn't, you know, immortality be interesting? Be like, yeah, if I was doing something that I liked. Right. But right now, I'm going on, 3 years out of school? 3-4 years? Yeah. I've done some stuff. And the fucking annoying thing is that the stuff that I've done has been good. And I've been happy with it. Right. I've, you know, which that's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so weird watching your own stuff. I mean, you must know, obviously. It's so fucking weird. But the fact that I was able to sit down amongst a crowd...
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And be like, oh no, they're getting it, you know, they got it, and it's fun, and it, you know, gets nominated and this and that, but I didn't win. I got nominated for 3 fucking awards, 2 for my thesis, and then another one in the next film. I didn't win any of them, and I knew that it didn't matter that I got nominated. I had to win,
right?
Because the winner got the interview in the fucking magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't get anything,
right?
And I remember Melissa was very like frustrated with me because I seemed to care so little that I got nominated. And I was like, because it doesn't matter unless you win. Which is kind of the way I look at everything. Like, unless you win, there's no point in playing the game. You know, as far as, like, in life and shit like that. I'm not, like, talking about, like, you know, playing Monopoly or something like that. That's you.
No, still you.
You know, like, I don't see the point in doing anything unless you're going to fucking do it.
Right.
And that's why it's such a weird time for me right now because... You know the two things that happened with the two opportunities that kind of right there, and then it didn't happen, and it always came up in a moment where I was like, all right, we're done. I'm not doing this anymore, and then I would get a phone call, be like, hey man, you know this is going on. Would you mind? We're doing this. I'd be like, ugh, yeah, maybe this is what. And then that doesn't happen, and I'm like, I'm done. And then shit happens again, and you're like, fucking unreal. So now we're at the time where we're on a clock. We're leaving. We're moving to Florida in a year. Are there things that I could do down there that might work out? You know, in particular, like working for Disney and bringing my photography and my film work and my storytelling stuff. Right. Yeah, that could work out great. It also could not. You know, I might just be moving down there to be in the most uncomfortable fucking weather I can possibly imagine. But you know, we'll be near our, at least I'll be near our vacation home. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to do things now because right now we live paycheck to paycheck. Right. And it's not getting better. It never improves. You're on a flat line. You know, you're not crashing into the ground, but you're never ever going up. You know, you're never climbing any higher.
Right.
You're just fucking there. There's nothing being accomplished. And so, you know, when someone said, you know, like when you say something like that, like, oh, wouldn't you want to like immortality? I'm like, oh my God, no. Because I can barely stand my life now. I can, right. I mean, what would I do? I'd have to become a fucking arch villain and steal money. I would have to, you know, do that. You know, we can honestly go back. I mean, it might sound corny, but, you know, you die a hero, you live long enough to become a villain.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I love Superman. Do you want to know why? Because if I had that kind of power, I'd be the most corrupt son of a bitch in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I would fucking, it would be, I would just rob money constantly.
I'd use an X-ray vision.
You know, I would be the most underhanded son of a bitch. But
let's be honest,
that character finds hope in people, which I don't have anymore. It's gone. Maybe I had it when I was younger. I don't know. Brian, you've known me the longest. Have I gotten worse or is this new?
Have you gotten worse?
Like, was I always this, I hate to say dark, but was I always this dark? Because I feel like Melissa would have never bothered with me if this is how I was.
No, yeah.
I was a generally like, holy shit, you know, things are going to happen kind of person. But
I think it's been a, it's, you know,
I've gotten really rough.
A little, you know.
I think it's part of the Cosby thing.
Can't laugh anymore.
That just took me.
Lose by, our heroes, by, man.
You know.
Yeah. But I think it's part of, you know, becoming an adult. Like when we first met each other, God.
Less associated with life?
Well, I mean, when we first met, I was 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Because we've known each other 20 years.
God damn.
I'm 38 now.
So I've known you longer than I haven't known you.
I know.
Wow.
That's weird. Wow, that's weird when you think of it that way. So, I mean, what shit? We used to sit at the park, throw kids a ball, put on some...
We were camp counselors, by the way.
We were camp counselors, yes. Yes, yes. Let me clarify that. They were kickballs that we threw at them. Okay, kickballs on a field, okay? There were other people there, other adults. It's fine.
They were witnesses.
But and then we would just sit there and listen to rap music for 3 hours.
Mm.
We'd bullshit, and that was it. That was life then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know. I really think it changed. Like, when you met me at NYFA, things were changing. Like, me personally.
Well, when you met me at NYFA, I had went through a 360 with my whole thing because I wasn't no longer dancing with my teacher anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about go find yourself. And I was like, what am I going to do when I've been, like, almost like handicapped for so long? And then I just went and did it, and I tell you, it was so hard because I was like, man, I'm not used to going to find work by myself. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to creating things for myself.
Yeah.
But when you realize, when you get pushed to what it sounds like is happening to you, Pete, is that you're getting pushed in a certain direction, and you just have to let it take its course, and then one day something's going to make sense.
You know, does it? You know,
I don't believe that anymore. I used to believe that.
You know why, Pete? I think because you're caught in the middle of it. You know, we're not going to get into things, but you know, I went through a really rough time.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way at times. There's just nothing else. I didn't see any light. I didn't see anything that was going to get better, you know? When you're in it, you can't when you're in it. You know what I mean?
Okay, right, and right. I agree with you to a point, but there is the other flip side of the coin where that man who's homeless in New York City is not going to get better. He's going to die. It's not going to get better for him. It doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
So that rule of when you're in the middle of it, you can't see the end of the tunnel. Sometimes, you know, I've used this term before, sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel is a fucking freight train.
But I think the light at the end, it becomes a freight train when that's where it comes down to the type of person you are and the type of and your makeup as an individual. You know, if you're the type of person that's just going to, you know, give up and just let it consume you. That's the thing, you know.
All right.
But I mean, it's easy.
But I mean, the series of unfortunate events, at a certain time, you stop and you say, all right, I fucking get it. I won't bother. You know, like, I remember. Well, oh, here's to add to. Remember, I told you I was looking for a job, couldn't find a job?
Yeah.
When I found that job, you want to know what happened slightly afterwards? I was offered an internship at National Geographic. I had to turn it down because I couldn't afford my bills if I did it. I got offered an internship at Trauma Pictures a week later. I had to turn it down because I couldn't afford it because they wanted me to come into the city and work for free. I can't do that. I couldn't do it anymore. So it was like, hey, you can't do this anymore. Okay, I'll try this. Can't do that anymore. All right, I'll try this. You can do that. Wait. No, you can't. You got to do this. And like, after a while, you're like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just, you know, fucking give up.
I think it's also about, like, I mean, die, like, loving it to death. Because tap dancing for me is one of the most, I mean, it's a hard art form to get past. One of my friends, he's a tap dancer, right? And he was dancing or whatever at a jazz club, and the lady was hosting. And when he got off stage, she says, oh, way to stay in a stereotype. And
What the fuck?
Yeah. And for him, as a tap dancer, that is something that we go through all the time. You know, it's like, gosh, we are trying to make the art form progressive to show people that we have different emotions and that it's not always this shucking, driving thing. Uh-huh, you know, that's what we try to stay away from.
Right.
And constantly, I am told, oh, you guys can't rent studio space because you guys are going to mess up the floor. When I live in New York City and musical theater is tap dance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But because everyone can't do it because it's so hard, that is not acceptable for everyone to say, oh, okay, if you're going to do dance, right, you do hip hop, ballet, and modern.
Right.
What about tap? Oh, it's kind of hard, and it's a dying art form, so we're just going to keep it over here, you know?
You know what? And I, yeah, you're, to what you're saying, yes, those people are fucking, ugh. The dying art form, though, you find me someone who I can put in front of something, in front of a TV or a computer, and I'll put on someone tap dancing, and they're not interested, I don't know who those people are. So it's a dying art form. Mm-hmm. I think it's a dying art form because it's not in front of people.
People, it's constantly. Exposure.
I think, I really do. I totally believe this. I've always believed this. There is something, maybe it's just me, there is something about tap dancing that I just get excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I do. I get fucking, and this is not because you're on the show.
No.
I am never that cat who's going to blow smoke up your ass.
I know.
Oh. Well, he is, but not under those circumstances.
It was my birthday.
Trust me.
Oh, shit.
Give me a hookah and a long pipe.
But you know what?
You don't need a long pipe. Keep going.
You know, no. I mean, we joke, and I do. Like, I love I love dance movies.
Megan Good is really attractive.
I told you, man. She is gorgeous.
She's distractingly attractive.
She's yes. But it's because I...
He's going to come home with face paint and just be like, hey, Mel, just...
I appreciate it. It's not something that I, you know, I like just... watching it because
I love it
because
I know I can't do it.
That's what I was just gonna say. I can't do it, and I can't do it to that form that these people can do it, and it amazes me. That's why I like the movies so much. That's why I like dance movies so much. It's not because the story's good. Fuck no, it's not because the story's good.
Whoa, right? Little Saints, my friend.
I didn't say all of the stories are bad.
You guys,
Little Saints.
Wait,
Little
you
Saints.
No, stop.
What did you just say? Little Saints.
Yes.
Little Saints. And you.
Well, of course I knew.
Oh my god, every week I learn something that I'm like, that was a movie.
Well, no, that wasn't. That was
You Got Served.
That was You Got Served.
Oh.
I wouldn't be the turbo to your ozone.
Oh god, my heart just skipped a beat.
Whoa. You know what, Fago? You know what we gotta do? We gotta do that video that I came up with fucking years ago. But then there was a little rift between, you know, what happened, the cat that you were working with and whatnot. So it kind of went away. I wanted to do a music video of Tap, mm-hmm. we were talking about. And we were going to find old classic clips
mm-hmm.
and basically merge them together into one video.
Yes.
And, you know, feature, you know, new, you know, up and coming, you know, new mm-hmm. folks now who now represent the art form.
Yes.
So you would go from like an old black and white clip of Sandman.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, eventually, you know, you bleed into, you know, Gregory Hines in, you know, and you kind of try to have all the scenes melt together.
Mm. Right.
And you have the dance challenge scene in Tap, which mm-hmm. I would say is the most, probably the most recognizable.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Like in the pop but, culture yeah, things, pop right? Culture,
yeah. Yes.
That or the dance sequence in White Nights. It's got to be one or the other. I really can't think of another one. And then you finish it with a modern stage
mm-hmm.
with, you know, modern cats, and you make it like 3.5 minutes long, 4 minutes long, just because I think it's just a matter of getting it in front of people, which is always a thing. You know, there's a million talented people out there, but their shit's never going to be seen.
Right.
You know, it's almost strange. As many opportunities as you have to spread what you're doing now, you get lost in the hurricane of other shit that people are trying to put in front of others,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. we're doing it right now with the show.
Yeah.
You know, the people who listen to the show, I hope, you know, you're digging it and stuff. You know, we get, you know, we got 17s. I owe you 3 slaps tonight. Don't worry, I didn't forget. We have a thing that whenever someone gives us a 5-star review on iTunes with the words Kirk Cameron approved, because we all sat through a Kirk Cameron movie and it was fucking awful, I slap Brian.
Fantastic.
So I got to give him 3 slaps tonight. Could you give me a double check on that?
It's still okay.
He's not going to fucking check.
He's the fucking one who told me a third one came up.
I did. That's how much I love you people. That is how much I love you.
Yeah. Dedicated.
He's dedicated. He's dedicated. He's going to get the shit slapped out of him.
Yeah,
dedicated.
It's still 17.
So, you know, that's the thing. It's so hard to get it above like all the garbage that people watch
nowadays.
The noise
that's out there.
The 30-second bullshit things on YouTube of someone screaming into a microphone as they watch video games and shit like that. Like, it's fucking mind...
Mm.
That is mind-melting to me that anyone would watch that.
Right.
The fact that, you know, 7 million plus watch it is like, what the fuck? Does anyone have an attention span at all anymore? Right. I really don't think they do. But we got to fucking do that.
I'm down.
We got to do that because I'll get that cat you were talking about, the cinematographer. He'll be the DP.
Make it happen.
You know, I'll direct it. You write it with me. You know, because if anything, you're going to be the fountain of knowledge on that thing, and you're going to be the thing of the piece.
Yep.
And let's just fucking do it. Why not? I got a year and a couple of months left here, unless things change. Let's do that. Let's do the other thing we were talking about. And
yeah, I'm down, man.
If I leave, at least I leave happy, and I know that, you know, I got that feature film out of my stomach.
Word.
That's a big thing. Mm.
Yeah,
but we got to get a feature out of us.
Definitely.
Because that's, what the fuck is the point? So the short films are fun, but they're not it.
It's not.
You know?
I think that's what you got to do, man. You just got to keep putting it out there.
The thing is, it's expensive.
No, I know.
Film is not. That's the thing. Everyone, you know, we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, like, oh, you can make a movie on anything. Like, yeah, but it's going to look like shit.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
like,
yeah.
It's not fucking, there's no two ways about it. You know, like, yeah, I can make a movie on my iPhone. But the you know, the big director who made a movie on his iPhone, he had $20,000 worth of lights.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's spent $30,000 on hiring a DP. The motherfucker didn't just do it with an iPhone and house lights.
And $30,000 you know? Isn't a lot of money in movie terms, but in
blinks.
But
it's
in
nothing.
Normal people terms, $30,000 is a lot of money.
That is my salary.
Yeah. So
after tax, well, not, yeah, it's almost my salary after taxes. I work 46 hours a week. To do something that right now someone is like, oh yeah, well you need lights, so that's that. It's fucking incredible. You do 46 hours a week of hard fucking labor for something that someone else literally unblinkingly will sign a check for.
This is why I strip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Gave it away.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Once again, I don't believe you, but
I don't. Yeah.
So, welcome to part two. Fuck it. I'm keeping that in. I don't give a shit. Welcome to part two of Last Gen Podcast. We are going to go into our favorite horror moments, which the first 15 minutes of me talking was probably a horror moment, so I'm going to listen to it first and maybe not include it. I'm not sure yet. The fact that I'm saying this right now, though, kind of locks it in. I noticed that when I was doing the editing for the movie clips.
Right, right.
We're doing the movie clips. So I was like, wait, I said that I might use the clips. If I don't use it, it's going to seem so fucking lazy.
Yeah.
So 4.5 hours later, we had an awesome fucking show.
That was
and it was good.
You should listen to that one.
That one was a great show.
I got it. Okay. Yeah, I'll clip you that. It's like just movie lines. Actually recast Clue, which was
a lot of fun.
But, I mean, that was great. That show was cocaine for me. All right.
Mine just cocaine.
Cut out the middleman. Cut out the middleman. You want something to be like cocaine? Motherfucking cocaine.
I'm ready.
All right. I do a lot of bird calls also.
You're like Tupac in Above the Rim.
Oh, why did you?
Holy shit. Booyah. Wow.
Do I have a razor blade in my mouth?
Well, that was his name, right? Wasn't he Birdman?
Was he Birdman?
He's Birdie.
Birdie. But he would do that. That would be. That was his call.
Oh, 2 weeks of 2 weeks of Tupac coming up.
I have not watched Above the Rim in probably over a decade. How the fuck do I remember something like that? Wow.
I remember soundtrack had an SW1 song as the first track, like second track.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is this on here? I always had to skip it. But it was a cassette tape, so I had to fast forward the motherfucker.
Super, super random news.
Oh, it happens all the time.
This is super, super random. If you haven't noticed, this has been random. Wait, that's what our show is.
If you were dancing with SW1, I'm going to leap out of that fucking
window. No. Okay. I have been watching Above the Rim for the last 2 months because it's inspiration for my next piece.
Nice. Are you fucking with us right now?
I'm dead serious.
Fucking full circle.
Oh, my God. This is phenomenal. Wait.
Thank you for this back.
How the fuck? What?
Yeah, okay. So I had an idea as I was home. And it was really weird, but they was having like this Tupac night or whatever on TV.
Okay.
And they showed Above the Rim.
Poetic Justice.
They showed Poetic Justice. They showed Juice.
Juice, I love Juice, man.
Juice is so good.
That's an actual good one. Yeah.
That soundtrack was
killer.
Fuck that soundtrack. Eric B. and Rakim. Oh. Oh. No delay. Oh, that's good stuff.
Best album ever. So look, it's like now in this time and day in life, you know, the 90s have come back to us.
Yeah.
Right? Heavy.
What?
Heavy.
Yeah, that's so funny because I've been telling Pete, I've been listening to 90s rap like.
Crazy.
Fucking crazy. Like nonstop, I've been listening to it.
I right now want to hear Lord City on the Ground. I don't know why. It popped
Chief
in my head.
Rocka? Chief Rocka?
Oh. I was listening to Onyx before I got here.
Did you fucking really?
Yeah, Last Days.
Oh my God.
I was listening today I've been listening to Renee.
What?
Lost Boys. I listened to it all day today.
Love is the law that we live by.
So basically, for the last couple months or whatever, I watched Above the Rim, I watch Juice, I watch these different films, and I've thought that it'd be really cool to bring something to the theater that is inspired, you know, by film, because I love film. Okay. So I was like, I want to do something that's inspired by, you know, this whole thing, and, you know, have it be told through tap and hip hop and modern dance and have some rap in there. So I've been working on this piece, and it's not finished, but it's like maybe four different pieces.
Segment, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
That excerpts that get put together.
Oh, nice.
And they all tell the story, like a combined story of one summer.
I'm in.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll be there. You fucking get that thing up, I'll be there.
Yeah.
That's the next thing.
That's amazing.
Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That's so random, right?
Yeah, that's crazy random. We bring up some random shit, but for them to cross section like that was pretty sweet just then. So. All right, let's get into I'm having trouble like concentrating back on what the fuck we were gonna do. That's why I like this show though. I think this is what people like about the show is that we have topics, we get to them eventually. But you know, I have some notes here, but we don't do scripts, we don't do anything like that. And I told you when you were coming here,
right.
I don't have questions. Right. I was like, it's just going to talk, and eventually we're going to hit stuff. And I think we've done that.
Really. Yes. Those are my notes.
Oh, fantastic.
Nice, God damn it. You're like, what's his name? Pollock without any talent. That's good.
That's pretty fucking good.
All right. My little house favorite in the horror moments. We're talking about just scenes. We're talking about just single scenes. You know, they don't have to be like the scariest moments of all time. I mean, some of them can just be like, hey, this really stuck with me or influenced me actually into liking other shit. Whatever it wants to be. So, guess first, Cartier.
Okay. My first one has to be House of the Devil with T-West. Ooh. Oh, my gosh. So this came out probably like 2010, and I saw this during, I was at New York Film Academy, and Matthew, he was like, yo, Cardi, I got tickets to go see this show, this film. And I was like, all right, we're going to go see it. Matt Packed, great film. I mean, it's like super cool. Most bomb scene that came out in this film was when Greta Gerwig, right, she's in the car and the pizza guy comes over and he all of a sudden just like comes out of nowhere and like gives her a light and she's about to smoke and she's like where the hell you come from, and he goes, are you the babysitter? And next thing you know, she gets her whole head blown off. And it happens so fast that like you don't expect it, because there's no type of there's no way for her to answer him.
Right. Yeah.
He just goes, are you the babysitter? And just pow. And I mean, it scared me so much that like, because the movie is a slow burn film. I mean, he really takes his time. And when that happens, I mean, it's worth it. You're like, oh my gosh, I was legitimately scared. So that has to be like that's definitely number one for me.
You know what? Just so everyone knows, you can rent this movie on iTunes, The House of the Devil. It has an 86% Rotten Tomatoes rating. I've never heard of it.
Oh, I think you would love this.
Yeah. Remember, guys, I don't follow the horror genre.
Yes. No. Yeah. So. That is a lot, was on Netflix for a while. It might still be on Netflix.
God damn.
Take a look.
I think it is still on Netflix.
That's where I saw it was on Netflix.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, Brian, you look that up. I will. And I'll go into mine. You know, I'm going to go old also. Halloween is a movie filled with terrifying moments.
Yeah.
You know, the original, fuck's sake. The original Halloween.
Thank you for the original part.
Yeah. But the thing that got me the most happens relatively early in the film when the patients are walking around outside of the asylum. Mm-hmm. You know, the gates have been opened. And they're in the car and you just see a palm come down first a little bit and then come back up and boom.
Right.
And it's that quick motion of your eyes think like, wait, I just saw something. And then smash, it comes back again. And it scared the hell out of me. Of all the moments in that film, that one stuck with me the most. And then I remember the remake where the same moment happens and Malcolm McDowell yells, what the hell? Which then
that was a good Malcolm McDowell.
Perfect. That was good, right?
That was good.
It was me and my friend Jeff Peterson. Stay safe, Jeff. I know you're overseas right now. Fucking be safe and stop fucking going there. That's a caveat. Me and him were watching that together. We lost our goddamn minds laughing. You know, in the middle of this film. That movie, the Rob Zombie version, is just fucking hysterical for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
But that particular, what the hell? Just fucking flattened us. But the original, my favorite moment of the Halloween film. So that would be my first one. Brian.
The House of the Devil is on Netflix.
Oh, sweet.
Okay, so just check that out.
My queue. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, it was a good one. Mm-hmm. Very atmospheric.
Number 117 on my queue.
Oh, my queue is out of control.
My queue is out of control.
Christ, I really got to start just watching things.
All right, my first one is going to be... this is kind of where I really kind of fell in love with an actor, Christian Bale. Mm-hmm. It's American Psycho. I love that movie. I love him in that movie. Mm-hmm. It's a horror movie. Not really a horror movie, but it is. I'm going to count it as a horror movie. It's the scene where he's with he's in the apartment. He's got Jared Leto on the couch, mm-hmm. and he's talking to him and puts on Huey Lewis in the News. Goes into a whole soliloquy about it as
soliloquy. It is a solo with another person on the stage. Well done, sir. No, because there's two different. Don't worry about it. Keep going. Sorry.
So he's. So, as he's talking to him, Jared Leto's, you know, he was really drunk and just not didn't know what was going on. So he's just, you know, kind of spacing out on the couch, and Christian Bale's putting down some plastic.
Yeah, nice and calm.
Nice and calm, just putting it down as he's talking to him, walking around. Puts on a little raincoat.
Fashionable.
Very fashionable. Then he does this. There's no other word for it but sachet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
I was going to say shimmy, but sachet is probably a better word.
And then he proceeds to pick up an axe and
chop the shit out of
Jared Leto as Power of Love is playing
yep.
from Huey Lewis in the news. So,
and if you want to take the extra step, that's Batman killing the Joker. What's up now? What's up?
Mind blown.
Toot toot, motherfuckers.
Toot toot.
What's up?
So, that's my minute. That's my.
I was not expecting you to go. Well, I mean, when you said the movie, I knew where you were going. But
yeah,
I was not expecting you to kick off American Psycho.
Yeah, you know what? Did you have a picture of on your phone?
I do.
When I went over there before, I saw it on your screen, and I was like. Fucking American Psycho.
What happened?
I have it on my... Okay.
Here's a picture of Christian Bale.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And when I went to make coffee before, it was lit up like this, and I saw it. I'm like, oh, that's Christian Bale, American Psycho. And it just clicked in my head.
How about that? Well done.
All right.
I'm good.
Wow. Well, I originally was going to do a Blair Witch Project, but I remember we talked about it right on the show.
We did. We had a nice talk about
that. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that again.
Okay. Though,
last 15 minutes of that movie, terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, still terrifying. Yeah. Halloween.
In the right setting. Halloween.
Going back to Halloween, second. PJ Soul's boyfriend goes to the kitchen to get beer, I believe it was, and he hears a noise, and he starts to investigate. Opens up a cabinet, nothing's there. Mm-hmm. Opens up another one. Michael comes out, picks him up against the wall, stabs him. The head tilt.
And
he's like admiring.
That's right.
That is one of the greatest fucking moments in any horror movie ever.
Wow, yeah,
that head tilt gets me.
Yeah, nice pickup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that too. Like, I wouldn't have thought of it if we were just talking randomly. But then, as soon as you say it, I'm like, "Yes, that he does. He does
that
do
part."
That.
Is just it, I don't know what it is.
Too.
Complete silence, and he just tilts his head. It's just pure evil.
But what made him evil, Kevin?
Fuck you, zombie. Well played.
Very nice. All right, so we got two Halloweens in the first round. Very nice. Two Halloweens, a psycho, and a movie I never heard of. But evidently I was alone on that.
Yes,
that's really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely look at that because...
It's good.
I'm going to definitely look. So what do you got next, Carl?
Next one would have to be Child's Play.
Ooh.
All right.
I think that for me, when I first saw Child's Play, because I was born in 89, so when I did finally...
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, when I was born in 89?
I was born in 89.
Yeah, I was okay.
So when I finally did get to see, you know, Child's Play, it had already been out for a while.
Yeah.
And when Catherine Hicks picks up the doll and she's had enough and she realizes that the batteries aren't in the doll. Mm-hmm. And she looks at him and she says, you know, God damn it, I'm gonna throw you in the fire. And he goes, you stupid. And he starts fighting her. And that moment is so crazy because it's the first time that we see Chucky's face like turn real, like it's all human.
Yeah.
And it scares you so much because, I mean, she's terrified.
Mm.
You know, the doll has done like a 360 with the head and he goes flying under the couch. And that moment there for me was just like terrifying because you don't think that the doll is going to actually, you know, move in her hands at the moment.
That was the first time that actually.
That was the,
oh, wow.
That was the first time we really see it.
I haven't seen the movie in so long, I don't remember. So, okay. Oh, wow. Oh, so before that, it was all kind of like it's in one position, then in a different way.
Stuff like that. We're kind of wondering if Andy's crazy. Like, if the little boy's like crazy or what's going on. Like, is he really talking to the doll or.
Love to show that to somebody now who has no prior knowledge and never looked at like a trailer.
Mm.
You know, this and that. Yeah, you got Kyle. Use him as a guinea pig.
Yes, ruin him.
Scare the shit out of him. He's scared of E.T., so I'm sure that'll scare him.
Well, E.T.'s fucking scary looking. Huh? E.T.'s scary looking.
E.T.'s not scary.
E.T.'s kind of fucked up.
E.T. is kind of scary looking.
Fucking.
Come on.
It's a little fucked up.
Come on.
Whatever. All right.
It's voiced by Karen Allen.
Yeah.
She's an angel.
She is.
Mm. Voice of an angel.
Voice of an angel.
Arms like Patrick Ewing. E.T. I'm talking about E.T. Talking about E.T. Not Karen Allen. Not Karen Allen.
That's all I can see is the arms.
Make sure you're giving Andy a hand job. Keep going. What? Sorry. Nothing. Keep going.
Marion. And then the Indy scream. Can't do it. Can't do the Harrison Ford scream. It's unfucking. It's
just do the finger wag.
Clonable.
Yep.
Unclonable.
Clooney?
Clooney with a chastity belt is the unclonable.
Brad Pitt's crying.
Coming to theaters.
Oh, or yummy. Not coming. Or not coming, because, yeah.
All right.
Dick jokes.
Dick jokes, man, I got them. All right, you know, I want to go back. We wanted to talk about Jaws, so I'm going to bring up Jaws.
Okay.
And we're going to, the scene for me that is the scariest is Ben Gardner's boat. When Richard Dreyfuss swims below to Ben Gardner's boat, sees the tooth, and then Ben Gardner's severed head, or just, well, not, I guess severed, yeah.
It's severed. Chewed off head. Yeah.
Pops through the window, scares the shit out of me, has a big musical cue. Interesting story behind that, and we'll get out really quick. That was not in the original cut of the film.
Right.
What was in the original cut was just him getting the tooth and then coming back up. He drops it for some reason, or maybe the scene isn't there completely. I don't remember actually how they say the original cut was. But the head popping through was not there. In the original screenings, when Jaws pops out of the water, why don't you come on down and chum some of this shit, that got a huge scream from people. But Spielberg felt, you know what, though? As good as that is, I can get a bigger scream off Ben Gardner. So they cut that scene back into the movie, but then he noticed something. He did get a bigger scream from Ben Gardner, but he didn't get a scream from when Jaws pops out of the water because the audience didn't trust him anymore. They were, you know, you become on guard to shit like that once you see it once or twice. And then you're like, okay, it's just going to happen. I know people nowadays, they get a little overly into it and everything is a scream moment. But overall, that's because they're working themselves up to it.
Yeah,
right.
So, and this relates to how we were talking about It Follows.
Mm-hmm.
It Follows blew its wad on a jump scare 15 minutes into the film that wasn't a scary moment.
Nope.
Or had any point.
Yeah, had no point. Actually, no payoff.
Yeah, subplot of no payoff. Yeah.
Subplot of kids peeping Tom kids. For zero reason. There's like three scenes of it, and there's nothing to it. It doesn't add anything to the film.
At all.
I thought she was going to fuck a teenager. That's where I really thought it was going to go. I was like, this movie might go real dark.
It went other places. Yeah.
But then that was it. It happened 15 minutes into the film. It wasn't even an actual plot scare or anything like that. So then when it happened the next three times in the movie, when the same technique of loud noise, quick cut is used, no one reacted. Because we already knew.
Right.
The jig was up. And gone.
Right. The audience is smart now.
The audience will be like, oh, okay, well, you're using that kind of a quiet shot and all the sound cuts out. You're going to do something loud the next couple of seconds. Right. Oh. And then your brain remembers that, and the next time it happens, it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So, but yeah, Ben Gardner's boat popping out of the door, popping into frame, terrified me as a child. Still does. Brian.
Just a quick thing with the It Follows. That chick must have been really good, because there were guys just lining up to have sex with her.
Okay,
she was a woman.
She was an attractive girl.
She was an attractive girl with a demon or whatever the hell was following her. Well, they did at the time.
No, the one guy didn't believe it.
Yeah.
Well, the one guy didn't believe it,
One guy didn't believe it. And the second one, honestly, he was like, look, if it kills me, I'm going to get laid.
Yeah. Well, and it looked like he needed it. So that was fine. Yeah. I understand that. But that, I just wanted to throw
that
out
And then
there.
Everyone else, I mean, they didn't know. And I mean, any woman who's attractive has zero problem getting laid.
What the guy said to you. He's like, you're not going to have any problem passing
it
on.
You're not going to have any problem. If one of us got it, Kevin, you'd be fine.
Kev, you'd be fine.
Cardi, you'll be fine, too. Yeah. Me and Brian.
Y'all are dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Who's going to have the most sex in the next week?
Me.
No.
No, me. Trust me.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to text you every
time. Are you counting?
High five.
2 hours, dude.
Really, we gotta time that up one time. Be like Mission Impossible. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. I'm being ranked.
Hey, sweetie. Enjoy the show.
I wonder what Kevin's doing. No, no, no.
Yes!
No, no, yes! No,
you're,
no.
I want an RSS feed of your cock.
What?
This is... I've never been flattered before in my entire life. Okay. Like, what by the way. Hi, Mom.
What murky depths has he reached today?
Oh, I reached some depths. Because you know. You know what I'm saying? Big dick.
So, you're Brian, you see...
You always go slow off the rails when it's my turn. I don't know what it is.
It's not her fault.
It's a, sorry.
It's mine. Yeah. Conjuring. We were talking about it before.
RSS feed.
What...
Jesus Christ.
The Conjuring. One of my favorite parts in that movie is the mother is home alone with one of the daughters. And the older kids play this game. Forget exactly what the game is called, but...
The game should be called We Should Never Play This Game.
It should be called We Never Play This Game. Yeah. But basically, one of the kids hides. They get to say something, and it's skipping my mind right now. But then they have to clap to locate them. So it's basically hide and seek, but with a little twist. So... The little kid never gets to play this. So the mom and the little kid are just home, so she has to play with the mom. And mom says, sure. So the kid goes and hides, and then the mom comes out, and she has the kid, you know, she clap. And then the kid claps, falls around. She has a clap in the bedroom. She goes into the bedroom. There's nothing in there. Then she hears. Then she asks again in the bedroom. He has a clap. Now the clap's downstairs. So she goes downstairs. She hears, so it thinks, I think the door opens up a little bit, and it gets into like this closet that leads into like a hidden basement. So she goes there. She's in there. She doesn't see the kid. She asks again for the kid to clap. And all of a sudden, you hear clapping downstairs. And then she is at the top of the stairs, and she asks the kid to clap one more time, and she is clapping, and you see a pair of hands come out.
Yeah, right next to her.
Next to her head and clap. And she
reacts the way all of us would.
She reacts the way I reacted when I saw it.
Yeah.
I screamed like a girl.
Me too.
And
that movie worked for
me. I wish that wasn't in the trailer. Because that would have been fucking amazing.
No, and that's true.
That's my thing.
I remember saying that when we were watching it. After we'd watched it, I was like, you know, that scene worked for me. It still got me. But Jesus, if I didn't know
terrifying
that was going to come, I would have jumped.
Yeah.
Like, really
right.
Hardcore. But the trailer did. It was a fucking poster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the image on the DVD. It's the image,
right.
Yep. It is.
As a matter of fact, right. It's her with the light, and there's a pair of hands
right.
behind her. So even if, you know, if you wanted to show somebody that blind going in, you would have to avoid them even looking at the cover of the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Probably the fucking menu, too.
You know what?
It probably is.
Honest, yeah.
Probably
but you know
is.
What? That's the thing with the horror movie trailers now. They show so much in the trailers.
Yeah.
Just like watching comedy where all the best jokes are in the trailer. And you're like, all right, it's funny the first 1,000 times you see it.
Yeah.
Or Wayne Brothers 7 months, where there's no jokes.
Where there's no jokes.
Or right. Haunted House 2 was a good movie.
No, I was going to say, or if you watch the trailer and then you go see the movie and then it's not in the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I was going to say next.
Yeah,
Paranormal Activity did that with a lot of the sequels.
That,
Paranormal
I didn't mind so much because they rely on you not knowing what's going to be in the movie. So
yeah.
If you show me stuff that's not in there, if you show me a better movie in the trailer, fuck you. Which I kind of did once. But in the actual movie, I can live with that.
Yeah.
Just with those kind of movies, though.
Mm-hmm. I can understand it. But I know that was something that happened a lot. They would show you
definitely.
Something, and then it just was not in the movie.
Especially with Freddy. Yeah. Freddy, too, with like all the Nightmare on Elm Street, they'll show so much in the trailers, and then you watch the movie, and you're like, oh, why that didn't happen? This was really cool. I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
But, like, not a fan. You know.
I think, for me, I'm going to go with the movie that I actually don't even like. But it has a really great fucking moment in it. I believe it's called Strangers. I watched my first watch. It was like, all right, I saw where it was going. I appreciate how it ended and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just didn't stick with me.
Right.
Short again, years later, I was like, all right, it's something I'll watch late night, nothing going on thing. But the scene where Liv Tyler's in the kitchen by herself, and I believe she's washing dishes or something, music's playing, you're focused on her, but not really on her, kind of over her shoulder. After a few moments, you're like, there's someone staying in the fucking background. guy with the I can't remember, had a burlap sack on his head.
It was something like that. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. And when you see something like it's first it's blurry, and then all of a sudden you start to focus, and you're sitting like, wow, that was a great fucking use of just like space and everything. Just having something come out of nowhere, and then you don't realize it for a little bit. That was just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's much nice. Like Halloween, where Jamie Lee Curtis at the top of the stairs, and all of a sudden you see the shadow lighten up, and it's Michael Myers behind her.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking just brilliant. I love moments like that.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. nice. That's a good call. Very good call. Cart, you got another one?
Okay, I would say that. Candyman. I'm gonna throw Candyman in there.
Nice. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, so this movie terrified me, just everything about it. Okay, and also because the villain was black. I mean, that made it so even more scary for me. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And it took place in the ghetto, pretty much.
Yeah.
There's one scene that really stood out to me was when Helen. Is in the house, and Ruthie Jean, they're in the house together, and Helen ends up falling asleep pretty much. She ends up in her house, and it's chaos when she wakes up, and the baby, the carriage is like filled with blood, and she's like, "You killed my baby!" And she's running at her with a knife to chop her up pretty much. And I feel like that moment was just so intense. As far as, I mean, the levels of intensity, I mean, we have a baby that's pretty much dead. We don't know where the baby is.
We don't know the fate of the child.
We end up in this scene with complete chaos. She wakes up, with blood everywhere. And then this chick is like running at her with a knife.
Yeah.
And then the cops come in and is like, drop the knife. Because, Ruthie Jean is trying to kill her.
Mm-hmm. But then she gets the upper hand, like, in defending herself.
Right.
But it makes her look like she's trying to murder another person.
She's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
So that was, I think that's definitely one for me.
I like that one.
Very nice. That's a good one. It's also nice because we experience it as the character experiences it.
Yes.
Which is good. You know, when you don't know what's going on sometimes and you're learning as the character is learning, it's fun. You know, like The Game, would be a film like that. You know?
Yes.
You're as in the dark as Michael Douglas is.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun. I'm going to do one. It's not a good movie. Not a good movie, but it is one of the most effective jump scares, and something that also really terrifies me is fast motion. When in a scene that's relatively slow, something very quick happens. Wait, you know what, Kevin? You're acting like you know. Tell me what you think it is.
Exorcist 3.
Absolutely, it is.
Yes, that's
yes. Yes. Very good. Very good.
Yes.
Very nice. The nurse station scene, if you want to look it up on YouTube, that's what it is under. I don't remember anything else from the entire movie.
Patrick Ewing was an angel.
Patrick Ewing?
Yes. Patrick Ewing was in the movie.
Did we just mention Patrick Ewing twice?
The basketball guy?
The basketball guy.
Are you fucking kidding?
Check it out.
Oh my God in heaven.
Yeah. And you watched the movie, which is funny as hell.
Wow.
Yeah. Very very forgettable.
I don't even know.
Just saying, it's a shitty movie.
Oh, it's a terrible movie.
But
I don't even remember like why this happened. But there is you have a long shot down a hallway, and all the action is taking place at the end of the hallway, pretty much. And this nurse is just closing up. She opens and closes, a door, and as she turns around to then exit the frame of this view down a long hallway, a white figure with hedge clippers, or what is that the word I would love?
Yes. Yeah, I believe it was. Yes. Yeah.
Just fast as lightning walks behind her with the hedge clippers opened, and the music, spikes up really hard, and then it cuts to a statue of Jesus Christ with his head cut off.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. But oh my God. Again, if you're gonna use it, you got the chills.
I got goosebumps. Yeah. I got goosebumps from that scene because I just
that is the best jump scare.
It's phenomenal. And again, the fact that it comes from a movie that I can't tell you a single other plot point.
Right.
I can't tell you another scene. George C. Scott was in it. I think that's it. He wasn't.
Yeah, he was in it. Yes. He was definitely in it.
Yeah.
But that was it. The movie's fucking forgettable for so many reasons. But goddamn, that scene.
That scene works. Was fantastic. Yeah.
Brian, go ahead.
Okay, I got a quick one. This movie was good for the first half, and then once they introduced the Ghostbusters team, it really fell off the rails. It's Insidious.
I thought you meant Ghostbusters.
No. Insidious was really good.
Insidious had me going, and it lost me.
And then it lost as soon as they introduced the psychic and all that stuff.
And Darth Maul is living in a Darth basement Maul. Thing.
But there's one scene. They're in a house. It starts off, they're in a house, they get scared out of this house, so they go and they move into another house. Mother's home alone. She's walking through the house, doing her chores. Just, you know, doing laundry.
And it's a single shot.
It's just following her.
That follows her.
Now, I did not notice this the first two times that I saw the movie. Pete pointed it out to me. There's a scene where she goes walking through the, she goes walking into the kitchen through the laundry room.
Mm-hmm.
In the corner is a little boy, maybe 5 years old, in old sailor outfit type clothing, just standing with his head in the corner, with facing the corner of the of the room, just standing there.
Blair Witch style.
Blair Witch style. Very quick.
Yeah.
And it scared the shit out of me when I noticed it. Because she just goes walking by, because you don't even notice it at first, really. You don't, because the camera's just following her. And when I saw that, when I actually saw it for the first time, it fucking
freaked me out. Yeah, I remember watching that here. Yeah. Because it went by and no one else reacted. I was like, did no one else see that?
Yeah. So then we,
And they were like, no. I was like, fucking rewind this right now, because I have to make sure that what I saw is what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes back and there it was, just sitting in there. And there used to be, I don't know if you guys remember this thing. I don't know. This is very suburbs things. I'm not sure. There's a really creepy shit that people were buying. It was a little statue about this tall, pretty cheaply made, but it was of a kid with his hands over his face that you would stick in a corner.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, why the fuck did anyone make this? This is terrifying. And that scene is pretty much
You know why that scared me even more? Kristen's mom has one of those in her kitchen.
God. Oh, it's great.
I don't know if she still does. I have to check next time. Yeah. I'm there, but she had one of those in the kitchen. So it's just,
what if you came home one night?
I would kick you in the balls.
There was one right there.
I would drive to your house and kick you in the balls because I know where it would come from.
Very nice.
I have a phobia of children in movies.
You do. Yes. I have a phobia of children.
No way,
Kevin.
Well, you took my Exorcist 3, so that, and I'm going to talk about Jaws also. But let's see. Poltergeist, we'll go to that one.
Oh, yeah.
Strange one for me is the scene where one of the Paranormal Activities, whatever team, is in the bathroom by himself at the sink. And I can't remember how it starts off, where he's checking himself out.
He's sweating, or if I remember correctly, he was like sweating.
But then all of a sudden his face just starts to come fucking apart.
Absolutely disgusting.
The meat sweats will kill you.
The meat sweats definitely will kill you on that one. It's not scary as much as it's just unnerving, especially when you're a kid watching it. Mm-hmm. That stuck with me for a long time after that. Every time I go to the mirror, I think I'm going to do that. That guy.
Wow, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't like, between that and the Psycho, I didn't like bathrooms at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do one more round around the table. Does that sound good, guys?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds
good. What do you got?
Okay, so there was a feature film for this, but I'm recommending the short.
Okay.
Mama by Andy Muschietti.
Oh, good, nice. Because I hated the feature.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I hated it.
Dang. Well, okay.
It needed to be a little scary, yeah.
Right, okay. Okay, I understand. Now, listen, I think the short, for me, I was able to watch Oliver, who went to school with me and Pete, showed me the short. And I was actually on the train watching this. And it scared the hell out of me because, I mean, already it's in a foreign language, right? So I'm already engaged. Mm. Not how I'm normally engaged.
Because
you have to read it, right?
Yeah.
And there's little girls, and so I'm like, okay, well, that, you know, they're really happy and they're talking, doing hair and stuff, and so naturally you're looking. But then, you know, they're talking to somebody, and you don't really know who it is, and the figure of the mama comes around the corner, and she's just moving really slow, and then next thing you know, it just goes so fast like a roller coaster, and they start attacking the kids, like going so fast, and the kids are running up the stairs, and I was embarrassed on the train because I screamed so loud because of the impact that it had. It was intense. But if you guys are able to see it, watch the short.
I'll look online. It's gotta be online. Yeah,
the short. Yeah, it's online.
I don't know if I've always wondered this. I'll tell this really quick because we're going to be wrapping up soon. There was a true story of a pair of sisters who were, after the father abandoned the mother and the family, the mother locked the kids, who were very, very young, in a bedroom upstairs. And she used to give them food through the door, and she never let them out. Mm. And no one ever really noticed that anything was weird. This went on for years. The kids lived like this. Eventually, the neighbors started smelling, you know, stuff, and they thought that, like, also, where the hell are these kids gone? Because the mother would come up with excuses. Oh, they went to visit, blah, blah, blah. The police eventually go there. They find the girls living in the room. It's, like, filled with fecal matter and this and that. That was the smell. Mm. And they had developed their own language to talk with each other. This is real, too. Yeah. This isn't fake. So I always wondered if that's where Mama came from. Mm. You know, the idea of it. I was like, oh, some similarities, you know.
Right.
In a way. And then they, you know, put their own tweak on it and whatnot. So, yeah. That's a horrifying moment, that story. Mm-hmm. Let me go into my... And I'm going to tell my last one. You know, I'm going to shoot out one really quick. We won't even talk about it. I'm just going to shoot it out. The demon face is an exorcist.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One of the best uses of subliminal imagery, which sent some people to the fucking hospital when that movie came out. Whether or not that's bullshit, I don't really know. But my final one I'll say is Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Let's bring it back to the original. And there's a number of moments in here. I could go with Meat Hook. Could go with the meat hook when he literally puts a live girl on a meat hook and then leaves her there to watch him cut apart her boyfriend. But the very first appearance of Leatherface is the one.
Yes.
The door opening and...
That thump.
Yes. The guy hears what he thinks is a pig squeal. Mm. And there's that door with the, you know, the ram's, lamb's head or something.
Yeah.
Bunch of skeletons, animal skeletons. And he just pokes his head in, and that's when Leatherface comes out and hits him in the head with a mallet. And then the guy's body is convulsing and shaking. Twitching, And then he hits him again, pulls his body into what you now learn is a door. And then Leatherface just reaches over and, you know, closes this metal door. And it shuts really loud. And I remember just the whole thing scaring the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from his pop out from behind. But there was something about the door closing.
Yeah. Just the violence.
Right.
The
finality of it all.
And that he fell on something that was like metal as well. When he fell, it was hard.
Yeah.
It was
And that pulpy thump when he hits him.
Yeah, that's just sickening.
That whole thing. The movie is really, really disturbing. It does a great job. So that would be my...
Without really showing much, by the way.
Yeah, not much. He had blood on him, but it was the convulsing and the shaking of the feet.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Brian, what do you got for your final shot?
It's from the original Nightmare on Elm Street. When I was a kid, this movie really effed me up because...
Cartier's fucking Clive Barker, mad genius.
Did you just censor yourself?
What do you mean?
You said it effed you up?
Really fucked me up. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. This is a PG show. It's the scene where the guy and the girl are in the bedroom. They just had sex and they're laying in the bed, and the girl,
Tina.
Okay, I couldn't remember the name. Freddie just he takes her and. Up on the ceiling.
Okay.
And around and back, forward and back, and blood everywhere, and she's just the boyfriend is just
Carol the court has no idea what the fuck.
No idea what's going on, and then boom, dead. Just fucking freaked me out when I was a kid.
That movie scared the shit.
That whole movie scared that movie.
Scary.
That was a monumental scary film when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
That really scared me when I was a kid. But that scene, I just remember that. That was like just some the whole violence of the whole scene and just the, you know.
It's Chrissy dying in Jaws above the water.
Yeah.
I would recommend, just side note on Freddie, Never Sleep Again, the documentary.
Yes, great documentary.
Oh, so good.
That's on Netflix right now.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm going to fuck me running.
So good.
I had that. All right, cool. Never sleep again. Nice. Mm. Kev, what do you got?
Last one's going to be original Night of the Living Dead. I think the scene that a lot of people talk about is the beginning with the
coming to get you, Barbara. Yeah.
For me, though, is at the very end. Ben survives everything. You think he's going to live, everything, blah, blah, blah. Comes up the stairs, and I guess you would say the police, army, not sure exactly what it was, see something moving in the house, and obviously it's Ben. Pulls out the rifle, shoots him right in the head, dies, throws him on the fucking pile of dead bodies.
Oh, God.
It's not scary, I think, for a lot of people, but as a black viewer, it definitely was fucking terrifying watching as a kid, because you start to go, wait, this isn't really about the zombies and the horror aspect of the movie. You start to see other things, but just that that moment, completely unexpected, because you expect someone to live, mm-hmm. and fucking doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So that mm-hmm. that got me.
Well, Romero always has done that. He's always tried to throw in the social commentary.
Right, but when you're a kid watching that, you don't expect that. Course, it's like, holy shit, really?
But
like,
maybe you did. I mean, to an extent, you did.
So, not for that movie.
Okay.
Like that was something I probably watched when I was really young.
Okay.
They were talking like 4 or 5, yeah.
The Coming to Get You, Barbara, really creeped me out when I was younger, when I first heard
that definitely
line.
Creeped me, yeah.
It's the delivery, you know, they come to get you, Barbara.
This guy just shambling over, walking very slow.
Don't forget, if you watch Shaun of the Dead, his mother's name is Barbara, and Nick Frost yells into the telephone, "We're coming to get you, Barbara." So, have fun with that. All right, guys, we're going to call it a night. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I want to remind you, if you please could, go to iTunes. You can search for Last Gen. You can search for Film Basement. Find us over there on podcast. And, oh, that's right. And you got to give us a 5-star review. And if you give us a 5-star review, why don't you throw up there, Kirk Cameron approved. Brian, remove your glasses. 1, 2, 3.
Damn it.
3 slaps. 3 Kirk Cameron approved slaps.
Yeah, the white meat showing.
I want to point out that I kind of forgotten, and Brian waved me over to remind me to slap him.
You're a good man, Brian.
So it's good stuff. I try. He does it for the good of the show. Check out our website, lastgenpodcast.com. We got some good stuff up there. Brian recently did a nice article on horror films. I recently tossed up something on there of how I would love to cast the Sandman movie, which probably a couple of them are going to be accurate, actually. I have a pretty good feeling on that. I want to thank so much Cartier-Williams for coming out and joining us today.
Thank you
guys for having me.
Our first actual true-to-form guest. And I got to get him back on the train so he's not stuck in fucking Ronkonkoma. So have a good night, guys. Am I forgetting anything?
That's going to be all.
That's right. Oh, I know what I got to do.
Yeah.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Say goodnight, Cartier.
Goodnight, Cartier.
Goodnight, Pete. See you all later, guys. Have a nice whatever the hell day it is that you listen to this. Peace.